Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy and the fourth chapter. This is a time of year when I think it's good to give an exhortation to get our act together. Churches have fiscal years and they've got calendar years, but the real church year actually starts in September. People coming back from vacation, that's when your Sunday school year starts up again. That's when your Awana programs start up again. People who move into your area basically try to get into your area before school starts. And so there's a tendency that's when you get the visitors who are really looking for a church just before the school year. And so September ends up being when really the activity year of the begins. And it's a great time for a pastor to talk to you about a little self-discipline, about pulling your act together again and getting some balance in your life. I find that it's so hard when your routine is going on and on and on, it's really hard to change it. It's very hard to get new habits, to recover the habits you ought to have had, to really try something different. But when your schedule changes, when the church schedule changes, when you've got new responsibilities, when new things are going on, that's a great time for taking stock in your life and saying, well, since I'm going to do this, I'm going to take care of this and this and this as well. And this is a good time of year to look at your life and to talk about getting some balance in what you do and being more self-disciplined. I want to start reading in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading from the King James Version. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I really want our hearts to be centered on your word tonight. And I pray that you'd cause us to change and to do something and to take advantage of the opportunity that you put before us. Make our hearts right and give us a joy in studying your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul is writing to Timothy here, and he's giving him lots of warnings about what's false doctrine, what's good doctrine, what's true and what's not true. And then he comes down here to verse 6, and he reminds me, says, these things that I'm teaching you, if you'll pass them along, if you'll put them in front of other people, if you will make other people remember these things, then you'll be a good minister. It's not my job to come up with new ideas and new projects and new doctrines and new messages. It's my job to open up this word and to put you in remembrance of the things that are already here. Most of the time when the pastor preaches, it's nothing you didn't know or haven't heard before. It's just something that God wanted you to know and wanted you to hear right then. It's my job to put you in remembrance of various things. But something I want you to notice about balance. Look at the focus of verse 6. If you do these things, you'll be a good minister, nourished up in the words of faith. Fed, given a balanced diet, everything you want to eat, you'll have. And it's interesting, what he tells Timothy is, it, as a byproduct almost, but by way of feeding other people, you'll get fed. If you want to learn the Bible, teach the Bible. You'll find that you learn much more by teaching the Bible than you do by studying the Bible yourself. It forces you to go deep. Only a small part of what you know can you give to anyone. And only a small part of what you give to people do they get. I've learned that. There's this decreasing curve. You've studied it and you feel so rich, but you can only give about that much. Then you give that much, and they get about that much, and that much they get, they remember about that much. So when you study, here's how much you get, and here's how much they remember. And the truth is, who got the benefit out of that message? The person who teaches. If you want to learn the Bible as a parent, teach it to your children. Get active in teaching someone, discipling someone the Bible, because it spreads you out. I appreciated Dick stepping into my class on a Sunday. I took off and I thought I'd ask someone, and I thought I did a lot of things before I left, and I hadn't. All of a sudden, he has to step into an Old Testament class studying a very narrow range of subjects that the students have been working on. It's like, yee. And it's like all of a sudden you've got to do all this work just to catch up to where everybody else is. And you realize that there's a lot of things you learn by having to teach. And the students who get what little they get from time to time, I know I'm that way as a student. There's so much I think I'm going to remember and don't. But the teacher gets so much more. And he says, when you remind other people, you'll be fed. But being fed isn't everything. Notice what he immediately goes to in verse 7. But refuse what the King James calls profane old wives' tales, useless, secular, worldly old wives' fables, and exercise yourself to godliness. There's the key and there's the balance I want to talk about tonight. Eating and exercising. I want to tell you, I worry sometimes. In a church like ours that spends so much effort and so much time focusing you in on studying the Word and learning it and loving it, you're not going to get any place without the exercise. You cannot profit from God's Word simply by taking it in. You have to exercise. There isn't one piece of value that comes to your body from simply ingesting food. There has to be exercise. I've got news for you. You can't get food into you without exercise. It's called swallowing. There is a muscle that for some people is highly developed, for other people less so. I have been to events where they absolutely didn't need to use that muscle. And it got right down there without anything, okay? But once it gets into your stomach, the stomach has to process it. It can't get it, unless your heart, by the way, you know what your heart is? It's a muscle. That's all it is. It's a muscle. And unless the heart pumps, the stuff that's in your stomach isn't going to get out to the body. And so sometimes we think about exercising in terms of fitness and trim. I've got news for you. Your body wouldn't even be able to use any of the food that goes in without exercise and the muscles working. What makes you think that you're going to get anything out of the Word of God without exercise? Where did we get the idea that by sitting in church, by learning, by expanding our spiritual intellect, that that's going to benefit our lives? I'll tell you what happens. It turns into fat right away. And pardon me for saying this, but there's a lot of fat-headed Baptists who've taken in and taken in and taken in, and they've got all kinds of useless, harmful stuff in their life that are weighing them down. And by the way, that's what keeps you from exercising. One of the verses that was read tonight. Lay aside every weight that besets you and run the race. And I really worry that a lot of what happens in a church is we try to present a balanced diet. I work very, very hard at that. And it might not occur so sometimes, but that's the toughest job for a pastor in terms of preaching. A balanced diet. I try to balance Old and New Testament. I try to balance the kinds of messages I preach. Some are on a story. Some are lighter. Some are deeper. Some are doctrinal. Some hit the point that I think the church needs that time. Most of them hit something I've learned that week. I have to balance and make sure that I'm not staying on the same subject all the time. I have to make sure that every message doesn't sound alike. I have to make sure that the doctrines you need to know in a year, you get in a year. Your family needs to have a certain balance in their food throughout the week. You know, you could feed them Twinkies every meal. And after a while, they'd rebel. But until that point, you can fill up on Twinkies just the same as you can fill up on a balanced diet. But it's a mom's job to make sure that my family has a balanced diet. And that's a pastor's job. But my greater concern is that you have to understand that the exercising and putting yourself and doing something with the Word is the only way you get benefit. And everything that I feed to you could ultimately turn to your hurt unless you use it. Many ways that happens. Every time the pastor tells you about something, if you don't do something about it, God will hold you accountable for it. You know that? In some senses, I hate to tell you this, it might better have never to have heard it at all, because God's going to hold you accountable. You knew that. And so the more you know, the more is given to you, the more is expected of you. If you feel that you're being well fed from the pulpit, you better watch it. That means God expects more of you than people who aren't being well fed. And you got to put it into effect, and you got to exercise yourself. And that's the balance that's required in your life. You take in, you put out. I mentioned it this morning that the cycle of God's word is that God speaks to you, you speak to him. Everything is meant in the Christian life to be a cycle. We get from God, we give back to God. We get, we give. We get, we give. And God has made it that way. You cannot be a taker and profit. You can't be a giver and profit. I have a real disagreement with the philosophy of a lot of Baptist churches that turn all their people into workers and robots in these massive programs, and they just churn out the workers, but they're not being fed. And the people go through those churches, and they get ground through the mill and come out in little pieces at the other end. And their lives and their families and everything's falling apart because they were doing the work, but nobody was feeding them. And nobody can do that. You get a nervous breakdown in your physical body, and you'll get one spiritually as well. When he says exercise, that's simply the Greek word that we get gymnasium from. It means do the work. And I'll tell you, that is not easy. Every time, I got to be cautious. You talk about exercise, and the women hear one thing and the men hear another. You know, I've noticed in a message that it's not what you preach, it's what people hear. Or sometimes you're preaching so that people don't understand correctly. We went to a youth rally and heard this passage preached upon. And the next verse where it says, bodily exercise profiteth a little, the preacher elucidated that. Bodily exercise profiteth a little. Therefore, you should bodily exercise. And he preached a whole message on how you guys are overweight and you all ought to get out there and start exercising again. He not only offended half the people there, he insulted a good number of the people there, and it was all I could do not to get up and take the pulpit from him. Come over here. I don't want to talk to you. I'll do this one. The point of this passage is, if bodily exercise profits a little, using godliness and using the same techniques in godliness profiteth for everything. If you can see a little benefit in bodily exercise, and by the way, it is benefit, and it is a little benefit when you consider eternity. You can have an absolutely wonderful, healthy body, and you're only going to live in it for 100 years, if you're lucky, if God blesses you. But you exercise yourself to godliness, and it'll last you forever. But the key here is he's trying to impress on you, you got to exercise. And I think that Christians are just as lazy in exercising spiritually as we are physically. Who wants to actually get out there and exercise unless you've been doing it? The hardest thing to do is to lay off for a while and try to get back into something, physically or spiritually. Boy, that's tough. To get back into proper habits. And I think what happens to Christians is we get some pretty bad habits, particularly over the summer. Where has been our Bible reading and our prayer time and our devotional life? How about that promise that we made to God? How are you on keeping your promise to pray for the missionary this week and your commitment to do that? You know, and you know what we tend to do? We tend to start out good and then fail. And you know what we won't do? We won't pick it up again. Oh, I failed. I tried and I failed, so I won't do it again. Baloney! Get out there and you do it right now. So what? If you start every week and you fail every week, you started every week again. And that's the most difficult thing. And the greatest lie that you can have is that God's going to bless you when you're laying around physically. God will never bless that activity. And he begins to talk here and he says, hey, listen, you got to get rid of this attitude that just simply eating. And he says the kind of eating you have to avoid is what he calls profane and old wives' fables. Some people enjoy hearing doctrines. because those doctrines ring a chord with them. And they kind of got this nice little framework, and they want to add to it. And they want to get everything all lined up just straight. And they want to have everything kind of neatly arranged in their mind, and it feels so good. Other people, they like the sentiment in a message. Hearing the old things just makes them feel good. Hearing that same old message in the same old way by the same old person in the same old place, there's something that feels good about that. And some people like to go to church and it just feels good. They're not sure what he said. They never used a word that he said. They didn't change their life that week, but it sounded good. You know, it's the kind of things that we tell kids that sound so great. That's what he means by old wise fables. The kinds of stories that have been handed down from year to year and they're always the same, but you always hear people mouthing them. You always hear the same old things coming out. You know, people get used to coming to church and the messages all sound the same. Two groups of people especially, teenagers and people who've been saved for 40, 50 years. You know, teenagers, because they're convinced that once they've heard a little, they've heard it all. You know, they've reached that exalted plane where it all sounds the same to me, and they're on this end of the curve. But on the other end of the curve, you probably have heard it all, you know, several times. Well, the problem is you got to avoid that tendency. You can't ever listen to somebody and it just passes through you and feels good and does nothing for you. There has to be a desire that I'm only taking this in because I need to use it. I'm only putting this into me because I have to do something with it. I'm interested in finding out what it is in this message that I need. I was talking with someone a couple months ago and they said, the problem is I get too much at church. I get Sunday school, I get morning, I get evening, I get Wednesday night, I get devotionals through the week or Bible study. It's like I can't handle it all. Well, my advice is listen until you find out what God wants to tell you and then smile. You know, I can tell when people have had plenty. Pastors, that glazed look comes over their eye. Well, I'll settle for glazed donuts. You know, that's what they look like, you know, all sitting out there. So long as you only hit that when you found what God wants to talk to you about. Every time you come to a message, you listen, you say, what is it that God wants me to hear tonight? And if you hear that, okay, fine. Because anything I have to say after that is probably, gilding the lily. It's not going to help much. But you got to listen and say, what is it tonight? What is it this morning? And you can do that every time you hear. Every time you hear, you say, God's got something for me here, and I just want to listen to what that is. And the exercising is saying, now that I've heard it, I got to do something about it. I got to know what's going on. Let me give you some examples of in this passage of what he means by exercise. One of the things you'll notice is in verse 11, it sounds a lot like verse 6. These things command and teach. Verse 6 was, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. He's paralleling 6 through 10 with 11 through 16. Okay, have I lost any of you? When he's going along, he's given them all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of things they need to know. Doctrine of what men should do in a church. Doctrine of what women should do in a church. Doctrine of what the pastor should do, deacons should do, the church itself, things to avoid. Then he starts out 6 through 10 and says, here's what I want you to make sure the people obey and hear and follow. And then he talks about exercise. Hear these things, but do them and exercise. He's going to follow the same pattern a second time in 11 through 16. These things command and teach. You're not simply to take the approach that I got some good news for you or here's some advice. You tell the people they have to do it. You explain them to them and you command them and say, God expects you to do this. And then he tells them, and each one of these things in verse 12 down to verse 16 is an exercise. It's not simply something that's a piece of knowledge. It's a way that you can exercise and use the doctrines that you've learned. Let me give you some examples. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He says, first of all, I expect that your life, you'll exercise godliness in your life, that what goes on in your life will be an example. Being godly is not avoiding certain things, it's demonstrating certain things. Being godly isn't not doing this and not doing this and not doing this. It's demonstrating that these qualities are present in your life. And he says in the areas of the way that you talk. And the way that, what's the word conversation mean? Anybody have a different phrase? It's walk. And the way you talk and the way you walk. What's charity? What's the simple? Love. In spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, we were talking in our Sunday school class this morning. A lot of times Christians learn how to love in a very painful way. They're not showing the Lord in the love relationship that they have to other people. That's the exercise. You find out what the Bible says, and then you say, now I've got to be an example. I have to demonstrate this love in my life. And so when I say exercise something, I mean push it out so that other people can see it. If they can't see it, it's not doing any good. That's basically how women treat exercising. They want to see results because they care about how they look. Men care about having a good time. You know, if the guys can get out there, if they can play a sport and have a good time in the sport, basically guys are for it. We don't care how we look. It's do we feel good and can we do what we want to do and can we get things done? Women, they care. They're not going to exercise if they're not going to see some tangible benefits in the mirror, okay? And they better be tangible and they better be quick. And if it's my sister, it better not involve perspiration, you know. She'd exercise so long as she doesn't have to sweat. And it's a strange phenomena. Well, let me put it to you this way. Out of those two perspectives, they're both right in Christianity. First, if you're going to exercise, your goal has to be, what do I look like spiritually? What do people see in me? What is it that's seen in my life? People can look at me, and it's exercise when people can see results. It's also exercise when I can do things that I couldn't do before, when the joints work. If you don't exercise a muscle, you lose that muscle. Learn it right away. Use it or lose it. It's true in your body. It's going to be true spiritually. If you don't exercise the witnessing muscle, you'll lose it. I guarantee you, you'll lose it. And it will be all kinds of... You can be the greatest witness for Christ, but if you don't exercise it, you're going to lose it. The heart is a muscle. And if you don't exercise your Christian heart, you lose it. You really do, and you can glide for a while on what you used to do and what a great testimony you used to have and all the things you used to do for Christ. But pretty soon you find out that you've got that reputation and you don't have the muscle to back it up because you haven't been using it. And this is an example, meaning people can see it in your life. People can see it in what you do and the way you walk and the way you think and the way you behave. And you have to ask yourself, what have I been doing? Do I have that balance in my life? I better get it started if I want to be ready for what's coming. In verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Reading, by the way, means the public reading of the scripture. All right? I'm going to use this as an example of you reading the Bible. But the meaning of this passage is, I want you to pay attention that the Bible is read publicly in the church. I take that seriously. Let me give you how I interpret this, and then we'll talk about applying it. I come to a church, I want to see the Bible publicly opened up. I want to see people with the Bible. I want to see the Bible being read. I want to see the Bible being preached from. I don't think that a pastor can fulfill this without having the Bible as the center of his service and the Bible physically present. There's a trend that I simply reject today. You go to church and they will write off a copy of the scripture that the message is going to be on and they'll insert it in the bulletin. So when you open up your bulletin, there's the passage that we're going to preach from. Well, I have a lot of problems with that. First of all, there's all the difference in the world between opening up the Bible as a whole and looking at a passage and having it written on a piece of paper. Two, how are those people ever going to use that passage again? What are they going to do? Make their own little book, their own little Bible, and put it in there? People need to be able to have a Bible. I like to write in my Bible. I like to put notes. I like to note things and say, that's what that means, and there's where I go. I like to have references in it. And you got to have a focus on the Bible. Let me turn this around to an application. What about the small things in your life? What about the discipline and your routine, if I will, your regimen? How's your Bible reading been this week? How about your prayer life? Okay, when you talk about producing something and exercising, it takes a discipline and it takes a regimen. You're never, ever going to get any place with any kind of physical activity or spiritual activity without routine. You can't free float your way. Paul uses sports illustrations, so I'll use them. 1 Corinthians 9, I really appreciate it. Has Alice read that passage? Or somebody read it and she had it. That was right. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said, spiritual things are like physical things. You need discipline. How much discipline do you have in your spiritual life? Athletes are careful what they eat. Athletes are careful to exercise every day. How they exercise and what they do, they give thought to it. Well, I don't expect you to be a physical athlete. I'm not sure I even desire that from you. But you better be a spiritual athlete. And Christians think that somehow by going to church and listening and trying to do well, that all of a sudden they're going to come out with a spiritual life. It doesn't cut it. Paul said everybody runs the race, but only one guy wins it. And I think what you got is a lot of Christians who are just happy to be in the race, and they don't really care about winning it. They're happy that they got in the race by going to church, and the idea that they go home and exercise and get something and change their life is no longer important to them. They feel good that they got to the starting line. You need some discipline. You need to pay attention to reading the Bible and to praying. Never forget that. If God keeps me here 20 years, the basic thing that I want people to understand is it's the Word of God in prayer. It's the Word of God in prayer. In church life, it's the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and the ordinances. In your personal life, it's the Word of God in prayer. And you can't neglect those. You can't get away from the basics. You can't play a sport without practicing. You can't do it. My hero is Larry Bird. All right, I confess to you. And because that guy, he practiced, and in fact, he hurt his back, and his game went downhill. Here's one of the most marvelous shots in basketball you've ever seen, and it was because he practiced hours and hours a day. How much time do you spend in the Word? It frustrates me. People say, Pastor, how did you get that out of the Bible? That's because I spend hours and hours and hours and hours in the Bible. It doesn't take intellect. God doesn't open things up to you through intellect. Do you think that God changed his method of working? And he said over here, it's not the wise man or the debater of this age. And that all of a sudden, that every once in a while, God says, yeah, but I'll work through your intellect. When you spend time in the Bible and you exercise yourself in it, you get good at it. And I think the problem comes is that we get lazy. We get some spiritual heaviness here. And we just don't say, this morning, I'm getting out my Bible, I'm reading, and I'm praying. I'm going to read and I'm going to pray. And if you want to know what exercise is, you do those two things. You do not need to lift weights to be in shape. Okay? Some people need to lift weights so I can watch them crunch heads when I go home tonight on the football highlights. Okay? I expect them to lift weights. You better be exercising physically if you want to stay in health. You've got to walk, right? You've got to keep loose. You can't just sit. Spiritually, I don't expect you to lift weights. I don't expect you to do the things that someone else would do. But your pastor expects you to read your Bible every day and to pray faithfully every day. And if you won't do that, there's nothing I can give you that'll help. And things that I give you will hurt you. They'll turn into fat. You got to burn them off. When you're exercising, you come back hungry. When you're out there doing something and getting involved, you come back and you're hungry for more. And then I can give you something. But if you don't use it, you come back and it's kind of like, you know, a little bit of spiritual indigestion, a little bit of, oh, what's we got on the table tonight? If I had a life verse that I'd recommend for some people, it's in Proverbs 27. One of the things I still do is I read the proverb of the day. I go Proverbs 1 on the first day. And yesterday it was early this morning, today's the 27th, I was reading Proverbs 27. The full soul loathes even the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When the guy is full and has everything, you can't offer him even the most wonderful thing. They'll turn up their nose at it. But somebody who's hungry will take anything you have to give. And you want to make the pastor's preaching job early and better. And you come and you're ready soon to hear what he has to say. And you're ready to take everything he has to say. You show up here hungry. If you want to show up here hungry, you show up here having exercise through the week. And that's the balance. You put a little bit of that into your life and you start to see the changes. Let's pray. Oh, Father, bless us tonight. I pray that the things that you look at my life, and I see them even as I preach, I see the things I need to change and the areas that you could do more with me. And I pray that you do that. I pray, Father, that you just give us a desire for the basics and a desire, Father, to know you and to love you. And I just pray, Father, that you keep us fed and keep us exercising, and that the things you put in, the plans and the systems and the cycles, that we'd see them and love them and use them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hymnals 166, the first and the last verse of Cleanse Me. Moms and dads, if you remember when your son or daughter took off their clothes and they had things in their pockets, well, Pastor has given us many, many treasures, things for us to do. We also can take the things that he has given us tonight out of our pockets and give them to someone else this week. Put these little treasures in your pocket tonight. But don't forget, don't let them go through the wash and down the drain. Give them to somebody. First verse and last verse of Cleanse Me. Please stand.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Gracious Father, bless us as we finish this week in you. I pray, Father, that we'd have the safety and protection that you've always given. Pray especially for Ron this week and for the things that he'll be dealing with. Give him your grace and mercy. Father, I'd ask tonight that as a church we grow in you and that we'd see great things. Bring us back, Father, for the services, and may we grow from blessing to blessing. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.